Well, good morning. I hope you all had a great spring break. It's always so good to get back together. And you know, we only have 3 weeks after this, so I really hope that you can purpose to not miss any of those, because it's just always a blessing to get together. As you know, if you've been coming, every few weeks, we have a gal share her testimony. And the way I get these names is not by just looking out and thinking, oh, that would be a good person. I always trust that the Lord is the one who highlights that person for me and just prompts me to ask them. And I can tell you right now, there's not been one person I have asked who just went, oh, of course, I would love to, you know. Usually it's, they're looking for the door to exit, you know. And yet, every time that they have prayed and sought the Lord, the answer has been yes. And that's always a blessing to me. And I know it's a blessing to you. So when women come up here, do remember, they're coming up because the Lord has put it on their heart that they are to share. And as I always say to them, the wonderful thing is God isn't asking you to come up to share just how wonderful you've been, you know, the great things you've done in your life, but rather how wonderful He has been in your life and what wonderful things He has done in your life. And so I know you're going to be blessed this morning, and I would ask you to just give a wonderful welcome to our speaker this morning, Sandy Hake. Come on up, Sandy.
Good morning. Just so you know, this is a new experience for me, so I hope that you can hear me. I can hear myself, so I guess you can. For some reason, I always thought that I did not have a testimony. And as I prayed about speaking in front of a large group in a large room, a conversation with the Lord went a little like this. I said to the Lord, I can't do this. It's too much to speak before so many in such a big room. I'll freeze. And God said, Sandy, did I promise to be with you this year? Yes, Lord. When I said yes to this year's ministry, you did promise that. You have taken me on quite a journey this year. Have I gotten you to this point? Yes, Lord, you have. Did you choose to go where I lead? Can you stand? Can you talk? All I want is your willingness. I'll do the rest. Psalm 119:7 came to mind. So return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. And Proverbs 16:3, commit your works unto the Lord, and your thoughts shall be established. Let's pray. Father God, you are so gracious. We are grateful for your Son, Jesus, our Emmanuel, who promises to be with us. Make your thoughts clear in my mind. Be the words of my mouth. May our focus be for your glory. May the Spirit fill each one of you with love from your word. Thank you for your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Over the years, I've learned a process to follow for confirmation from the Lord on what to do. Pray, read the word, pray without telling any others. Listen to how the Lord directs conversations. Pray, look for the words that begin to develop a theme. Pray some more, receive confirmation from your husband, and peace within. Sometimes that peace doesn't come until you step out in faith and do what the Lord asks you to do. Some words that kept reoccurring while I was praying were witness, evidence, truth, gratitude, honor, testify, and inheritance. The Lord was reminding me of the graciousness that He has provided for me in my lifetime. At an early age, I was taught to look up words that I don't fully understand, Old school, I know, but I went to the dictionary to check out the words testimony. And I have inherited a big dictionary. It's 2 volumes, and it's a 8 by 12 by 3 inches, 2 of them. This edition was published in 1948, happens to be the year I was born, originally copyrighted in 1927. So there are 2 reasons that I like it. It is detailed, and it also gives biblical meaning as well as answering all sorts of questions. When I was young and a discussion was raised about spelling or meaning of a word, we'd always be sent to the dictionary to settle the conflict, or as us kids thought, I'm going to prove my point. I learned that I loved words and vocabulary. Testimony means to testify, to witness, to give evidence or proof to support a point, fact, or truth. It is a thing of value, an expression of esteem, admiration, and gratitude, to honor with a testimonial. Acts 20:24 says, "The ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus is to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." Yes, Lord, I hear you. Though I have felt many losses over the past years, I am grateful that you have given me proof through the nearly 7 decades of my life that in blessing and challenges, you are my Redeemer. I have an inheritance that none can take away. You are with me. You hold my hand. You give me your words. Your living word blesses me with understanding for where I am. The watering of the word refreshes me. I can share about your grace because you have placed many godly mentors around me. Through them, you have poured your love upon me. One special sweet one said to me, "Everyone has a story." Yes, Lord, I can tell a story. The word inheritance reminds me of the song that we sing, "This My Inheritance." In paraphrase, it says, "This is my inheritance. It will never spoil or fade. Until he comes, my salvation in heaven is kept by faith. This is my inheritance. God's power will be its shield through Jesus Christ, the only life by which it is revealed. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, a world without end. Amen. This is my inheritance that none shall take away. Not even death, with my last breath, I see my Savior's face. All praise be to God, always and forever." In 1 Peter 3:15, "But sanctify the Lord in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to anyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. That is, with gentleness and respect." Sanctify means make holy, purify, set apart, set free from sin. In reading by C.H. Spurgeon, he states, "Say much of what the Lord has done for you, but say little of what you have done for the Lord." By his Son, Jesus Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit, we're living from grace to grace in this life unto the glory of life eternal with the Lord. This is my journey with the Lord, from grace to grace, drawing me closer to him. By the grace of God, I was blessed to be born in a Christian family. By his grace, we attended a King James Bible-based Christian church. My foundation in the Lord was modeled by generations of my family and the church family. Their faithfulness and commitment was to honor the Lord in who they were, what they believed, and how they lived their lives. They were my faith builders. Sorry, I really didn't do this when I was practicing. In Hood River Valley, our home was at the base of the East Hills in the Pine Grove area, with Mount Hood to the south and Mount Adams to the north. There were 4 clear seasons. In the spring, new growth, sunshine and rain, hot summers with blue sky and sunshine. In the fall, school and harvesting of the fruit trees. And one of my fondest memories is being able to go out the door, getting ready for the bus, and going into the orchard, grab an apple and take it off to school with us. And in the snow, in the winter, we had piles of snow. Playing out of doors was a must, as my little German grandmother said, "Rosy cheeks are good for you." It's still a most picturesque place to live. In the 1890s, my great-grandfather was a homesteader in the valley. He had 13 children, My mom's side of the family came in the early 1810s with five siblings. So when we came along in the 40s and 50s, we played with oodles of cousins at the family celebrations. My grandfather, my dad, and his siblings were orchardists who raised a variety of fruit trees. Mom's parents lived about half a mile away and owned dairy cows and fruit. Good friends of my parents had a chicken ranch. Every year, our family raised beef for the freezer. To say the least, we were blessed by the Lord with a bountiful supply of food. In later years of my dad's life, I asked him what it was like on the farm during the war years. As the oldest, Dad stayed at home to help with the orchard. He shared that gas and sugar were the only rations. They were blessed because of all the produce that they grew and never fell any shortages of food. My three uncles all served in the war. Two were blessed to return home safely, but my mom's brother contracted tuberculosis after he returned and went to be with the Lord. As I reflected on the experiences of my grandma, who immigrated with brothers and sisters from Germany at 22, hard work on the farm, the loss of a son, gave me a new respect and understanding for her dependence on the Lord for all of her life. She faithfully worked beside my grandfather in the farm and faithfully worshiped the Lord. They were instrumental in establishing and building the church that we attended. Throughout the seasons in the valley, vases around our home were filled with abundance of flowers, trees and bushes and beds of flowers planted by my mom. In the spring, one sweet thing that my dad used to do was to go out into the orchard and find the first flowering limbs from the fruit trees and bring them into the house. It was kind of an announcement of new growth and life for the year, for the production that they would have coming forward for the year. Flowers are a big part of my life, too. Give me a flower and my heart melts. My grandchildren know this and love to bring flowers in from our backyard. I have a flower story for you. I bought daffodils to share with my mother-in-law. I know they don't last long, but I wanted to bring a little bit of spring into her room. When I came home, I was looking at the daffodils in my yard. They had been blooming for about 3 weeks. I was surprised, and the Lord reminded me about abiding in him. So the ones that you buy and cut have already been removed from the source. And the ones that stay in the ground last longer because they are attached to the source. And that's the way I feel about abiding, is that the Lord really reminds us about abiding in him, that when we are attached to him, that we last longer. And when we're off or cut off or removed or chosen to wander away, things change real quickly. May we abide daily in the Lord and keep our staying power. Each summer, Mom grew and canned or froze the produce from the huge garden of vegetables and the fruit that we grew. Favorites of mine to help make were strawberry jam and frozen corn and lots of pies. Dependence on the weather for a good crop was always a concern for my dad. One of his sayings was, "We'll take what the good Lord gives." Not to say there wasn't worrying going on, but accept what you have, give glory to God, and figure out what has to be done next. We always attended church and Sunday school and any other church happenings that came along. Did any of you have those pamphlets in Sunday school where it was like 4 pages and there was a colored picture on the front and you opened it up and you had the story and you had a Bible verse to memorize for the week, and then you also had this little application that you could use or thought that you could use throughout the week? I loved those. I'm a visual learner, so it was very helpful for memorizing and practice to be able to do my Bible verse and remember the story. As a visual learner, all of that was helpful. We learned prayers, mostly with little poems and songs to start with. We were taught to be thankful for all we received, whether it was something we wanted or liked. We sang so many children's songs. My grandma once told me that I had a sweet voice. Not that I'm a great singer or anything, but she encouraged me, and I love music. Around our house, there's always someone humming or singing or whistling. In dry times for me, I pull out my old hymnals and sing and pray the words to the Lord. It is so rich in all the truths that soon the focus and the praise is lifted me up to him, and my focus is back where it should be. Grammys, your loving words are so important to our grants. Be wise encouragers in what you say, for it makes a mighty impression on how children view themselves and eventually how they may view our Lord. God placed faithful pastors and teachers through my life. Our church celebrated each holiday with potlucks and gatherings, and of course, 75 to 100 might be the tops of what was there, and unlike what we have here. And we would go to the church basement or a park or a schoolyard for food, fun, games, races, and competitions. My mom even won a hollering contest once. You see, back in the day, our house, there was only one telephone. It was attached to the wall. It had one phone hook. The cord was short. It didn't go anywhere. So mom would step out onto the balcony or the back porch and holler up to dad whenever he got a business call, which was not very rare. Well, it was very rare in that time because people just didn't call each other that much. She would step outside, holler up to the barn, a few hundred yards away for dad to come down to the house for the call. She had a great voice. With five children in my family, two brothers and two sisters, we learned early about respect and obedience through the responsibility of hard work and daily chores. At that young age, I did not think of us as rich, but we were wealthy in love, respect, and obedience to the Lord and to our family. We also needed to pay attention to mom for loving guidance and watchful warnings, because what was promised was administered if we didn't. In my life, the modern version of the scripture was, spare the rod and spoil the child. Needless to say, we were not spoiled. Proverbs 13:24 actually says, whoever spares the rod hates their children, but he who loves their children disciplines them promptly. It's God's reminder to be diligent in disciplining your children. Mom taught Sunday school, sang for weddings, and in the choir. She worked alongside dad in the orchard. She managed a household of five kiddos, volunteered at church and school, and supported dad in his many volunteer activities and keeping of books for the business and the church. I would say she was a wonderful example of the Proverbs 31 woman. She was an encourager in all of our activities. The Lord gives us many scriptures with promises to encourage us and claim for our family relationships. His word causes rejoicing in the times of blessing and in times of challenge. Deuteronomy 30:16 says, I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments, his statutes and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord will bless you in the land which you do possess. And we did possess a beautiful piece of land in Hood River. Psalm 127:3, children are a heritage from the Lord. Psalm 22:6, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Deuteronomy 6:7-9, impresses upon them when you sit at home, walk in the way, and on the doorposts. In Timothy 3:14-17, but you must continue in the things which you have learned, that from childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through the faith which is in Jesus Christ. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, for instructions in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Jesus is the doorway and the protector of that doorway. No matter your age, loving parenting or mentoring is a continuous responsibility for the Christian. God graciously accepts us where we are, whether in childhood or adulthood. He pours out his love and restoration when we come before him in humble repentance and ask him to show us the way. It is never too late. He draws us closer to him as we move from maturity to maturity in our heart knowledge of him. When my mom passed away in 2003, my heart ached. My sisters and I prepared the scrolls with a scripture verse of faith or the fruits of the Spirit to give to everyone. Over the backs of the pews, we placed dozens of afghans she had crocheted for her family for graduations and marriages and births. It was a small testimony to the love she poured out on her family. At her memorial service, God gave me the grace and strength to share who she was, how she lived, and how she would want us to live. Mom was a wife of noble character. From Proverbs 31, there are so many things in there that she accomplished. She was amazing, hardworking, and she did everything. I remember one time when my kids were little and we went to Hood River to help her with the corn in the backyard. And so we were cutting off the corn, and I finally sat down because I was tired. My legs were killing me. And Mom says, "Ah, come on, come on. We got to get this finished. You can't sit." So it's like, okay, that many years older than me, and she could put me under the table whenever she did work. In Colossians 1, 9 through 14, it tells how Mom lived, praying, asking for God's will, bearing fruit, growing in the knowledge of God. With great endurance and patience, she joyfully gave thanks to our Father God for his inheritance. As our biggest cheerleader, she would encourage us to stay strong in the Lord. Ephesians 5, 15 through 20 says, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but wise. Make the most of every opportunity. Understand what the Lord's will is and be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. Always give thanks to God, our Father, for everything. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." My mom was an amazing mentor. When we faced sorrows or trials in our lives, Mom would listen and then say, "God has this. Tomorrow will be a better day." With prayer, the Lord gives us a fresh start, a new perspective, and new mercies every day. The Lord taught me about my Father God through my dad. He worked hard in the orchards. What he didn't know how to do, he learned by experience. He expected things to be done right and praised us when we did. He and Mom both looked for the good that would come out of blessings and challenges. He was faithful to support Mom in the discipline of us children. We were expected to obey Mom, go to church and school, do our chores, and encouraged to always do our best. To get us up in the morning, he'd yell up the stairs, "Time to get up. You're missing the most beautiful part of the day." It was 6 o'clock in the morning. However, he had already been outside for probably an hour or two doing things in the orchard, and he was coming in to get breakfast at that time. We needed to be out of bed to catch the school bus at 7 or do chores in the summertime. Dad loved the Lord and said the Lord's Prayer nightly. He always said, "Thank the good Lord," and it was for everything, for all the many blessings that was evident in our lives. After Mom died, we spent more time helping Dad, who was determined to stay in his 3-story farmhouse until he went to be with the Lord. By spending time caring for Dad, we got to know the sweet, kind, generous man my mother fell in love with. In order to know our Father God, we need to spend time in his presence. I've learned that early in the morning actually is a really good time to be up. It's quiet. Nobody else is up usually yet. To come to the Lord and just spend time reading or singing hymns or reading the hymns to him. The Lord has taught me that he wants daily time with us regardless of what time of the day it is. So even though the morning, and that I have to say that as I grew older, it varied whether I had kids or whether I was working or, you know, whatever happened. But coming before the Lord and in that time praying for the next 24 hours, that was kind of the way he showed me that it doesn't have to be early in the morning when there are other things that you never know when your little ones are going to get out of bed and say, "Hey, I'm up." As I grew older, we were taught the meaning of the celebrations of the church calendar: Lent, Passover, and Easter, Resurrection Sunday. Missions, patriotism, harvest time and Thanksgiving, Advent and Christmas. All holidays were celebrated with joy while learning the truths of a loving triune God. Reading the word, knowing the scriptures, praying, all of this drew me closer to my Savior God. When I was in 8th and 9th grades, our pastor taught about the importance of scriptures in the doctrines of our church. I was excited to attend these lessons because I got to have time with my mom's dad, who would drive us into town and drop us at church. While I was in class, Grandpa would get groceries and shop for other things my grandma needed for the week. Grandma never did learn how to drive. When he picked us up to head home, he always had a treat, a whole candy bar. Not the little ones, but they didn't make little ones back then. and then soda pop. And that was a real treat because it was extremely rare that we ever were indulged that way. While I was at, when he picked me up to head home, he had the treats and it was a big deal. And we spent time talking with each other and getting to know what had gone on in our lives for that time. Commitment, encouraging words, and laughter are always the ways I remember my grandpa. As I graduated from junior high class, we were asked to pick a scripture. I chose Psalm 121. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. As I read the psalm now, it brings memories of the hills and mountains we climbed and played on during the around the valley. God is our source of beauty, of strength, and always at work for each one of us individually. My grandparents, parents, pastors, and teachers were my faith builders. When I was in high school, the mom of a classmate was our Sunday school teacher. She gave us a New Testament Bible in modern English. It was written by a pastor for his youth group. It was quite different from reading in the King James Version. We used it as we studied the Bible through the year. The language made it easier for us to understand the many truths of the word, and then also the application that we would take home to use in our lives. Our teacher wrote these sweet words in the front of my Bible: "May you be a blessing wherever you are." The Lord drew me deeper into his knowledge and understanding because of the thoughtfulness and the prayer for our life, one of my faith builders. Today, I like to expand my understanding of the scriptures by reading from several versions of the Bible. If I brought all the books, just having them out on the table that I'm pulling from. We are so blessed in this country to have so many resources. And of course, with your phone, you can just go wherever on that immediately, and it's usually always in our pocket, right? Hymns, and I'm trying to think of this fellow's name, Robert Morgan, I think it's his name, has books out that give the story and the hymn. So it's the history of the stories of how these hymns came about. And he takes them from, long time ago, 1700s, 1600s, I think a couple I've read. But it's so enriching to know how this hymn came about. And then the truths in the hymns are so deep. You could just use that as a study and look them up in the Bible and see where they come from. Same with the songs we have today. I have a favorite group, and their songs are so rich. If you take it out and just use it as a poem, being able to look at each piece, I think thinking of the song I Am, and what the Lord God and Jesus are in our life. It just lays it right out there in the song. Many versions and commentaries are available to know the fullness of God, seeing his attributes. It's been so great to study God's word in the names of what are the attributes of God last year, and then being able to study the attributes of Jesus this year. It's a surprise to go, yes, of course, that's true. He's a wonderful Savior. He's a counselor. He's always with me, just always encouraging us in our walk whenever we need that encouragement. Growing up as a people pleaser, usually I did what was right or thought I was supposed to do. I'm a second child and a visual learner, so when I saw older brothers and siblings get into trouble, I learned not what to do. Not to say that I didn't cause problems, too. When we played follow the leader, I was the follower. Grandma's house was up and over a hill. We could get there by walking the road or taking a shortcut through the orchards and the woods where I always seemed to find the poison oak. To follow my brother over the hill, I had to learn how to identify the leaves of the poison oak or just be wise about who I followed and maybe take the road instead or stay out of the woods altogether. The Lord desires us to be wise followers of the truth, too. Are any of your relationships or choices leading you to the Lord, or are they causing you to wander away? As a teenager, I began to question conflicts that arose in my choices. Why do I feel this way? Why can't I do what I'm supposed to do? And Paul explains that in Romans 7. I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. The next part of my life was off to college and away from home. A college education was very important to my parents. Mom went to accounting school to learn bookkeeping, and Dad finished high school, then went into the business with his dad, growing and peddling apples. He learned by experience, went to conferences, or learned from manuals how to do everything from construction of buildings to fixing machinery to understanding how to make the orchards more productive. Because my dad did not have the opportunity to go to college, my parents determined that all of us would get a college education. I wanted to be a teacher from a young age. I loved working with young children in Sunday school and vacation Bible school. At college, I studied elementary education. In one of my classes, we were learning about discipline, child behavior, and rules in the classroom. One challenge by a college professor was to remove the word not from your vocabulary. So we were to do that until our next class. So think about it. You'll find that it is not as easy as you think it is. Of course, his purpose was to have us speak in a positive manner. Tell children what you want them to do rather than saying what you don't want them to do. Don't stand at your desk. You may get them to look at you, but if you say, please sit on your chair, or thank you for sitting on your chair, usually they quickly sat down. One time, a child said to me, Mrs. Hake, why do you always say, thank you for sitting on my chair when I'm not doing it? With a grin, I responded, because maybe then you will know what it is you are supposed to do and do it. The difficulty to drop the word not from a vocabulary truly impressed upon me the importance of using positive language when expressing what you want children's behavior to be, rather than reinforcing what you don't want them to do. In general, using encouraging words is a better policy for the building of character. As I grew older, my experiences taught me that management tools I learned for children worked well on adults, too. The word positive means full of hope and confident, or giving cause for hope and confidence. May we communicate with clear, concise words, for we are all children of God. I met my husband on campus. We loved doing things together, studying, going to church, making trips to Hood River. He enjoyed being with my family and even playing with my younger sisters. Though he was a city boy, he didn't mind my country roots. Occasionally, my Jim was born on the same day as my brother Jim, and both graduated from college in 1968 with big decisions to make. In the 60s and 70s, it was a time of unrest. Assassinations, civil rights marches, protests, and violence on campus, and the Vietnam War. The legislation had established a mandatory draft in the armed forces for men over 18. My brother chose to go in the Air Force, and my Jim was blessed to work as a civilian for the Department of Defense in Fort George, Meade, Maryland. Both served their country but did not have to go to Vietnam. It was a blessing, but it meant separation for Jim and I. Different sides of the country. When Jim asked my dad if he could have permission for us to be married, my dad made him promise I would finish my degree. We were engaged before he left for the East Coast. Our wedding was planned for the next summer, and I continued on with college here. Long distance and high phone bills caused us to reconsider. Now, high phone bills means my phone bill is probably about $50, but for 1968, that was high. We even had a phone call from the phone company. I had a roommate from California and a roommate from Southern Oregon, and then Jim wasn't back east, and so they called at this $90 phone bill and said, do you realize that you have a $90 phone bill? And I said, yes, we do. After fall term, we decided to get married in February in the middle of a very snowy winter. I think we had 3 or 4 feet of snow in Hood River that year. Excited about new adventures, but nervous about being so far away from home, my first airplane ride across country was quite a journey. We flew over landscape covered with beautiful snow, jagged mountain peaks, and flat plains. When an engine failed over the plains, we were grateful to land in Chicago, an unscheduled stop. With much prayer, we eventually switched planes and flew on to Baltimore. We began our married life in the culture of Washington, D.C. area, away from family and the rich blessings of all my mentors in the Lord. When homesickness would set in, calling home was too expensive, and letters took days to have that communication roundabout. The positive side of separation from my family was that Jim and I learned to depend upon each other. We attempted to find a church, attending different ones, but my small-town roots found it difficult to be in such large churches. Who knew I would be here now? I enrolled in college, finished my degree, and started teaching in an elementary school. Living in the midst of all that national history, we became involved in our work life and exploring the culture. Busyness allowed us to wander away from dependence on the Lord. As the time went by, we began to yearn to return home. Compared to Oregon, the East Coast was an expensive place to live. Friendships were not as simple or laid back as we were used to. It was a time when people were openly pushing boundaries of doing what is right in their own eyes. Both of us felt the desire to move closer to home. Looking back at that time, I realize how thankful I am for the Lord's protection as he drew us back to the West Coast and home. He was our good shepherd. After finishing his commitment to the NSA, Jim was able to get a job in Portland Computers. In 1973, who knew they'd become such a huge part of businesses and everyday life? We were overjoyed to return to Oregon and our families ready to start our own family. We bought a home and began attending church again. Even though I applied for teaching jobs in the school districts, there were very few available. I think something like 10 for the Beaverton School District. Jim would go to work, and I needed to find something to do. The following are things that I learned from the Lord as I went through several years of Bible studies and the blessings of becoming a family and raising children. Abiding in the Lord from grace to grace. Friends from church invited me to a non-denominational Bible study. It was an in-depth study of the books of the Bible. For example, studying the book of Genesis. Each study went for a full school year, with weekly meeting and time for worship, prayer, discussion groups, and lectures. Through the study, I was taught how to study the Bible on my own. Read passages of the scripture. What does it say? What was the meaning in the story in Bible times? And how does this apply to your life today? I had an NIV study Bible with all sorts of notes and further information about the word. It was a wonderful time spent with the Lord. The structure stripped away all my pretense of knowing how to be a Christian. The Lord gave me many Christian ladies to grow in love of his word and his ways. One of the things that I learned was that we needed to be with the Lord. Praise, worship, sing, read the word, listen to what he has to say. Think of it as this way. Children love to have stories read to them. And when they learn to read, we like to have them read stories to us. We encourage them by listening and reading to us. And as we read the word, think of God the Father listening to us reading to him. He loves to help us figure out things we don't understand, just as we do for our children. With the importance of prayer and to help with order in my prayer time, I learned the word acts. Adore, A for adore him, worship him, C for confess, ask forgiveness, T for thanksgiving, and S for supplication, acts. After you have been with the Lord, do as is unto him. So you be with the Lord, and then you do as unto him. Colossians 3:23-24 said, whatever you do, do it heartily as the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of in the inheritance. For you serve the Lord. Ephesians 2 says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. The good foundation in my youth had taught me many truths of the basic Christian doctrine. Now the Lord was moving me from immaturity to maturity to maturity. He took my knowledge of God, my Father, and Jesus, my Savior, and began moving it deeper into my heart. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, the Lord revealed his total love and acceptance of me. It created a rededication of my life to the Lord to be with Jesus before you do your work, do his work. As you receive new insights, your exuberance may bowl over some of the people in your life, parents, your husband, friendships. If they're not responsive to your share of your light bulb moment with the Lord, whether they are Christian or non-Christian, the Lord desires you to model that new understanding. He's teaching you. Show love and respect and let the Lord do his work in you as well as the other. And pray, pray, pray. Let God win them without a word. Your loving behavior will draw them to the Lord. Wives, be submitted to your husbands so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives. That's from 1 Peter 3:1. Ask you to have the Lord fill you with this fruit of the Spirit found in Galatians 5:22-23. Love, joy, and peace, patience, kindness, and goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Trust in the Lord to grow these characteristics in you and pour it out on your loved ones. Old habits and new habits. The Lord is a wonderful counselor. When you're walking in the woods, the more you travel the same pathway, the smoother it becomes, the harder it becomes packed down. Just as you, as the more you practice a habit, the stronger the habit becomes. If it's a poor habit and the Lord gives you a successful victory over that habit, you will have some work to do just to get rid of that pathway and keep it gone. You may want to plant some seeds of faith in the pathway so it'll get disguised so you can't see it again. You must replace that old habit with new thoughts. Take your thoughts captive to the truth of the word. If the temptation causes you to fall back into old habits, look for wonderful scriptures and good-for-you tasks to do. Some of my good-for-me tasks are I need a new perspective, so I get physical. I get out in the dirt and like to dig in the dirt and prune and pull weeds and talk to the Lord. Sewing and ironing is another place where you're making something beautiful. While you're doing that, talk to the Lord. Tidying up, cleaning, vacuuming, dusting, bring down the cobwebs, talk to the Lord. Fill repurposed boxes, throw away, give away to someone special or charity. Remember that temptation to return to bad habits is not the sin. Acting on the temptation is. Arm yourself with words he gave to you while helping you claim victory. He encourages you to fill the empty space with his words and reminds you of the strength through the strength of the Holy Spirit to do the right thing. You could make your own special lists with scriptures and just make titles of joy or just scriptures that the Lord gives you when you're in that particular moment and he is pouring out his word into your life and helping you to be restored. Psalm 56, 8 says, "You have numbered my wanderings, put my tears in your bottle. You are not in thy book." Are they not in my book? Place them in a special folder and have them available anytime that the Lord has given you victory. You will have peace and joy in your blessings and the challenges he places in your life. You'll have something available to. It's kind of like making your own concordance in your Bible. We can claim Christ's victory and our hope. Psalm 16, 7 through 8. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord away before me, always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh will also rest in hope. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Faith promises I've claimed for me and my family. 2 Timothy 1:12. I know that what I believe, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. What have you entrusted to the Lord? Yourself, your family, your business, your friends? Isaiah 54:13 says, "All your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace for your children." Raising up a family, needing to draw closer for wisdom and strength. For me, it was a joy to have children. I thought I'd been raised well and trained classroom behavior and management, so I thought I was ready. But the first time my child willfully disobeyed me at an early age, it pierced my heart. Of course, I took it personally. The first opportunity I had, I went to my mom to apologize for anything and everything I had ever done in my life to disobey her or hurt her feelings or embarrass her. As a parent, our responsibility is to love our children, to train, discipline, model, and encourage our children in the ways of the Lord. Providing a routine for rest and food and play, we are all children of God. We all need order and routine in our days to feel safe and loved. Rules create understanding. It's important for their good as well as our peace. Each child is an individual with a unique character. Parents need to realize that our sweet bouncing babies are sinners just like us. But we are the parent, they are the child, and you must teach them to listen and obey. It's our God-given authority to train them in love, respect, obedience, and responsibility. Discipline will teach them about relationships. Some will push till you need to take them into your lap and provide the consequence to stop this disobedient behavior. Some will test your rules on purpose because they need you to prove that what you say you mean. Some may cry to get out of a consequence, or so they think. You still talk with them about their behavior and make sure they understand it's up to them to change. When discussing this in adulthood, I had one of my children say, "Don't you think I did that on purpose?" "Yes, I knew. And then I was able to teach you about God's grace and mercy because I knew your behavior would change." So individual child has unique ways of dealing, and you have to learn these as a parent. God is always gracious to help us figure out creative ways to work with our children. The first time I had to deal with a child giving up nap time was when I had a new baby. I thought 19 months was way too early to stop napping. I needed the nap. We would go round and round, sometimes successfully and sometimes not. At some point, God finally made me realize that eventually the nap time would be gone, and then what would I do? What was I going to do? New rules, new room, silent playtime with books, Legos or toys, until I came and opened the door. In relationships, there are things that bug us about each other. I'm thinking marriage right now. The word "whatever" was one of my pet peeves. Whatever I liked, but I did not, or I liked words, but I did not like this word. Usually when asking a question, I was looking for an answer and deferring myself to the other person to make a choice. The answer would be, whatever. The Lord's perspective was this was an I thing. I needed to see it from God's perspective, not mine. He sent me on a journey to look up the word whatever in the scriptures. There are 175 times that whatever appears in the scripture. And it's a great study. It's a great study. Go look up the word whatever in scriptures. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, so shall he reap. Whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord. My favorite, Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, of good repute, any virtue or praiseworthy, meditate on these things. And that's one of the things I used to do, is find something here that I could meditate on when I was kind of not happy with the way he was responding to me. A scripture I've come to love and use. Our focus, of course, needs to be on the Lord and all the attributes that he desires us to meditate on when we're adjusting our perspective. The Lord taught me to plan, ask, and to adjust to the decisions that were made. Earlier, I talked about the journey that the Lord has taken me on. When Judy asked me to continue on with what I was doing for Bible study this year, I said right away. She didn't know that I'd been praying about it all summer, and my thing was, if the Lord has Judy call me and ask me, you're to say yes. I didn't share that with her. I just said yes right away. And she graciously sent me back an email and said, would you pray about it? And I was confused, and then I was embarrassed because I realized I hadn't shared with her why I said yes so quickly. So I prayed about it for about another week, and I said, is there something different I need to see here, Lord? Do you need me to change my feelings about this or my answer? And after a week, the Lord just really speaks in your head sometimes, and he said, I promise I will be with you this year. And it was very, very clear. So I sent back to Judy and said yes again. And immediately in October and November, my mother-in-law's health began to decline rapidly. We were making trips to the ER and doctor's appointments, and I need at least two hands to cover all of that, the times that we were there. She went from pushing a walker to being wheelchair-bound. We had to move her into an adult care home, and in January, I almost stopped again because I wanted to be able to give more help for her. When I prayed, it was very short for the Lord to say, I promised I would be with you all year. God is so gracious to hold my hand today as well. My season of retirement has been one of caregiving for my dad, who passed away 3 years ago, caring for my husband, who has major heart issues, and now caring for Jim's mom. The Lord has taught me how to turn fear to faith and rely on him alone. He has taught me to turn worry to worship by opening up my hymnals and singing and praying to the Lord. As I contemplated how life had changed since my father died 3 years ago, I have felt a great sense of loss. My dad is with the Lord and mom, but going home to Hood River is just different. Jim and I are the oldest in our generation now. It's our privilege and responsibility to pass on the legacy of my parents and grandparents, which is to love and honor the Lord God, to love and honor each other, and to love and honor the land that they worked and enjoyed all their life. They were my faith builders. As our Lord God faithfully helps us to stay firm in our beliefs, our charge is to pray mightily for them, whether they walk with the Lord or not. That's our family. We are to pour out love of the Lord on our family. Our Father God sees us as worthy because we are positioned in Christ. He sees the fruit of the Spirit in you and me. Because we are in Christ, he sees love, joy, and peace in you. Because we are in Christ, he builds patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control in us. Isn't he amazing? We may accept his gift of the Spirit, or may we accept the gift of his Spirit and claim the promises that he wants to impart to us. After my last procedure 2 weeks ago, I had been praying about sharing. I finally said yes. I wanted to get through this last surgery that he was having. It was the next day. It was the next thing that the Lord wanted me to do at this time. There was so much joy and relief and peace. My Father God reminded me that I have an inheritance that is kept in heaven by faith. By grace, the Lord has placed us in this life and time with a gift of faith builders from our family and friends, faithful Christians who demonstrate God's love in ways. They point us to Jesus. They train us to be his disciples. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, they pray for us to become one who is willing to testify to the love of our loving God, living God. Some are with us for a lifetime, for their lifetime. Some are with us only for a season. Though we may feel loss when these mentors have gone from our life, our Father's purpose is to move us from dependency on them to dependence on him alone. 1 John 5:4, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that we have overcome the world, our faith. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, 4, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it for you. Let's pray. Father, you are such a gracious God, amazing counselor. You are with us. You are mighty God. You know us. You are gracious to provide us with your words that teach us how to be your children. We thank you, Lord, for this day, and we just ask our blessing on your blessing on our week. And thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. We have 15 minutes.